Hello there, dear listener. This is Brian, and I want you to rob us. But before we get to that, let me tell you a little bit about our year. 2025 is coming to an end, and we had a banner year here at Many Sided Media. We played games like Hell Whalers, Slug Blaster, Yazeba's Bed and Breakfast, and Last Train to Bremen. But did you know that those aren't the only games that we played? We actually played a whole lot more. Over on the Many Sided Media Patreon, we call it the Dice Pool, we play even more games and release bonus actual plays and cast talkbacks each and every month. And sometimes, we even get the designers of the games that we play to run them for us. This year, we had Felix Isaacs on to run us through an original three-part Wild Sea adventure that we called Wild Sea Wreckage. I got to play a Mothrin Raveler conspiracy theorist and is probably my favorite character that I got to play all year. And then we had Caleb Zane Hewitt on, who was the designer of the Emmy Award-winning Triangle Agency, who introduced us to an original three-episode series featuring a brand new anomaly and guest player, Taylor Moore. Plus, we played games like Scurry, Token, Tacklebox, and honestly, a ton more. I know what you're wondering. When is this heist happening? Well, I'm getting to that, because members of the Dice Pool get every episode of My First Dungeon and Talk of the Table ad-free, plus MP3s of the original music we make for our shows, plus cast talkbacks for every episode of My First Dungeon, and bonus roundtable discussions featuring folks like Evil Hat publisher Fred Hicks, actual play scholar Dr. Emily Friedman, and Dimension 20 creator Brennan Lee Mulligan. So that's all pretty shiny, right? Certainly worth stealing. So here's where the robbery comes in. All you have to do is go to patreon.com/manysidedmedia and sign up to become a member of the Dice Pool. You'll pay $10 a month and you will get access to literally everything we have ever made. But don't worry, you have my express, official, legally binding verbal permission to pay $10 one time, download everything we have, cancel your subscription, and then ride off into the sunset with 5,231 minutes of TTRPG podcast goodness. That is 87 hours or 3.63 days, and that is just the stuff that we made this year. We've got three more years of podcast goodness sitting on our Patreon, so you are making away with a king's ransom for just $10. And if that's not highway robbery, I do not know what is. But also, if you want to stay and lend your monthly support to the hardworking crew behind all the shows we make, we certainly would not mind. 2026 is going to be our biggest year yet. We have planned massive seasons of My First Dungeon. We have all-star guests lined up for Talk of the Table, and we are even making a few new shows to add to your podcast haul. So please go to patreon.com/manysidedmedia and rob us of everything we have ever made. And if enough of you do, next year's haul will be even bigger. Thanks for listening and enjoy the show. Happy holidays, everyone. This is Brian, and I gotta tell you, it is concerning how close we are to Christmas and how few gifts I have bought for my loved ones. However, I do have gifts for you, my dear listeners. One of the biggest things we did this year at Many Sided Media was add a bunch of spectacular new shows to the Many Sided Network, and so I'm giving you the gift of your next favorite TTRPG podcast. Does that kind of feel like your weird aunt giving you a gift card to her vegan salon? Not at all, because this is a podcast and it's really, really cool. The episode I'm sharing with you today is from one of my favorite new shows called Maia's Game Room. Maia started playing TTRPGs less than 2 years ago and has quickly become one of the most prolific gamers I know. She played over 50 different systems in that time, and every time I look, she seems to be playing three or four new games and always has some great thoughts about each and every one of them. Her love of TTRPGs makes me want to get more games to my table. And if you like the high level of sound design of My First Dungeon, then you are going to love what Maia does over on Maia's Game Room. The episode I want to recommend to you today is episode 1 of her latest series, Iron Rising. It's a co-op Starforge actual play set in the caste-ruled city of Hyperion. You follow two siblings sworn to uphold order as the system they serve begins to fracture. I guarantee that by the end of the first 5 minutes, you will get fully sucked into the story and fall in love with Maia's Game Room.
In Hyperion City, mercy is a malfunction. Somewhere below the gridded lights and gold-lined towers, a red is curled on the floor, bleeding. They look human. They are human, for all intents and purposes. But they were born with a barcode, so now they belong to someone else. The blows come from a gray. Expression blank, hands practiced. He isn't angry and he isn't cruel, this is just a job. And today, he's behind schedule. We see the gray steps into a small office. Inside, a gold sits at a clean desk, untouched by the sweat and heat outside, and she doesn't look up. And she says, "You're late."
It was a bit of a mess. The cleanup took a little longer than expected. Had to get rid of a crowd, but job's done, clean and efficient.
And then she slides something across the desk, a cred chip. She doesn't smile, doesn't blink, doesn't really even look at you. Docked half a cycle. That should still cover visitation.
Thank you.
You may go.
Good day. He's gonna clench his fist and lumber out of the room.
She finishes her tea, rises and boards a personal transport. The glass skims past the sky, and below there are grids of neon and color, red workers, blue workers, resting vents, and above, the gleam of gold towers piercing the clouds. And by the time she lands, she's forgotten the gray's name. This professor enters a gold classroom, the same woman. 30 children rise in unison. Their uniforms are perfect. Their eyes don't wander. They've been taught better. She begins the lesson with the same words every child hears, every day, from their first breath to their last. Long ago, the world burned. We trusted what we created, and it betrayed us. Machines turned on man, and order collapsed. But the Law of Seven saved us. Gold, bronze, blue, violet, gray, and red. A place for all. A purpose for each, and a chain unbroken. And then she lifts her hand, and the children immediately know what this means. They respond on cue, with the fist to their heart. And she says, "Strength is duty." And all the children in unison say, "Duty is order." And then everyone, including this woman, say, "Order is gold." We see one Celine Kelvaris. She's at her work. She had just gotten a directive. She is one of the praetors here in Hyperion City. And we see Celine. She's in the uniform. Celine is part of the Praetorium Guard. the elite enforcement order. So we have the Greys, who do kind of regular boots on the ground type work all over the city. Just your regular kind of beat cops and other officers and things like that. We have the elite guard, like I said, the Praetors, and she's in her uniform and you see her walking, and next to her we see a cat. I mean, I say a cat, but I mean cat like a panther sized cat. And it has dots that are glowing on its skin, and they're showing different colors. Right now, it's just showing white. It's pretty calm. And this is her glow cat, Dex, is like walking next to her. And there are a few officers with her as well, other guard. And she has just been told that a red has been corrupted. And they are in the blue district. For some reason, they had gotten to the blue district, and she needs to neutralize them. Well, she says neutralize. The order was to bring them in.
The order was subdue.
The order was subdue, and in her mind, she heard neutralize. So that's what's happening right now.
Yes, absolutely. And I think you would probably find the incident. The incident came from a distress call coming from one of the smaller manufacturing buildings in the Blue District, where things mm-hmm. would be coming up from the Red District from all the way into the Blue District to be modified in their factories for whatever they need. And you're told that it's currently behaving hostile. You would get the call from a blue officer, and he would put you would hear him in your comlink.
Yes, the red started showing signs of corruption about 4.5 minutes ago. It lashed out at its fellow reds, and when Greys made an attempt to subdue it, it overwhelmed them. And we have one Grey who is heavily injured and another one that is trying to hold it off. We evacuated the workyard and barricaded it within there, so it is isolated with naught but the one injured Grey and the other trying to hold it off.
How many fatalities?
We haven't been able to get close enough to the wounded Grey to see if they've bled out. One red looks as though it's been completely ripped apart, but it is just a red. No casualties of any blues or others that we can see from this moment. Property damage at the moment is at a minimum. My superiors would appreciate if that stayed that way.
It will be taken care of. Thank you. And she has, like I said, she has a few of her other guards, so they make their way over there. And this corrupted red is, I want to say, where are they near? I want to say that they're near the garden, actually. And so it has been blocked off. Like, there are some Greys who have already come and blocked it off. And we see that there is, inside of a building, lights are flickering. And something is going on inside. And so she's going to approach, like, there's a lot of guards, Grey, like, guards who are supposed to be doing security, who kind of look nervous, but not really, but a little bit, because they're just unsure. One of their men already went inside, so they're like, okay, so what do we do? I'm going to approach one of the Greys and ask, how long ago has this started?
The lieutenant of the Greys enforcement squad here turns over, and Greys are anatomically built different than the other humans here in Hyperion City. They are at least 7 feet tall or higher. They are their muscles are massive, and as they are built for fighting and protecting and enforcing the law. So this large Grey looks down at you.
Praetor, we just sent in two of our own, and according to all the scans from my forensics team, one of them is in critical condition, and the other one is lightly damaged, is still moving about. I would send more people in, but Reds can be very unpredictable when they're corrupted. They don't think rationally. They can't be predicted, and I'd rather not lose more people.
Understood. And are there any other innocents inside?
There are some workers who are trapped in one of the small display areas, but they seem to have barricaded themselves in. The red does not seem to have a specific target. It seems to be wailing at whatever's near it. Hence my men.
This will be done quickly and swiftly.
orders off or to, we've been told to subdue it, but personally I wouldn't mind if the thing got broken to pieces. Retribution and all that.
She doesn't say anything, but she just raises the eyebrow and you see a small smirk on her face.
We'll keep the people from coming in. You do your work, Praetor.
We'll be back in 15 minutes. We go in. I'm gonna tell Dex to stay, and he immediately just kind of sits and just waits. And he doesn't come in with me. She goes in, she has a couple of her guards. It's just three golds that are going in, but we are highly trained at our work. Even though like the greys are these huge, hulking, like 7 feet creatures. We're both built differently. I think golds are just a little bit more agile, just the way that our bodies are built.
Yes. And golds would have access to better protection and tech.
Exactly. And so we head in. We head in a little bit slowly, and I tell my guard, okay, men, stay on my six. Look left, look right. Head down that hallway. And you, down there. And I'm just starting to point, like, there's different avenues that they can go.
They don't speak, they nod and follow. Uh-huh.
Just let me know on comms what you find. Get everyone out that you need to get out. I will handle the red. And she wants to handle the red herself.
Absolutely. I would say it doesn't take long for one of your subordinates to find the people who barricaded themselves in one of the smaller rooms, mm-hmm. and lure them back out. And you see that they are met by the Greys and Dex. And I think Dex definitely picks up on their distress, but then the sign of relief, so the colors sort of flash around Dex's body.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm. And so I'm continuing to make my way down, and I can hear like heavy breathing as I have went down a couple of corridors already, and I'm getting closer to a door that I can already see that says like not been ripped off its hinges, but I can see that it has definitely been tampered with. Like there's a data pad yes. there, and I'm like, okay, somebody has messed with this already.
Yes, it looks as though there was some sort of damage done to it, and the door is dented in a strange way. It looks as though this path goes down to one of the fuel or boiler rooms of this facility, so it would be a vulnerable place for mm-hmm. conflict to happen.
Exactly.
That could cause severe damage to the rest of the facility. And yes, as you get closer to that door, you would absolutely hear the sounds of exhausted breaths and breakings of metal against metal, metal against something not as hard as metal, and the sparks of electricity.
I see that it's still locked, and so I give a call to my brother, Dorian. I let him know. Dorian, come in.
The camera flies upward and outward in rapid speed to a large building almost on the other side of the Blue District. Mm-hmm. And in one of the rooms, a young man in a large coat of purple emblazoned with gold intricacies with long, curly black hair, streaks of white on one side, spins upward as he hears the voice of his sister. And Dorian touches the right side of his face where a cybernetic eye attached to a small cybernetic golden plate has replaced an old wound from his childhood. And he spins around with the golden eye lighting up with a bright neon green representing communication.
Celine, what is it?
I'm at the garden. I'm handling a situation with a corrupted red. I need your help.
What can I do?
I'm on the first floor. I'm outside of the server room. You know where the internal core is. And I need to get in.
Lower facility. Icarus, bring up the schematics.
Dorian spins over to his desk onto the opposite side, and a floating robotic creature lifts up. It looks like a dome, a chrome dome.
Okay.
And floats upwards, and from the bottom of it, a myriad of long metallic coiled arms and tendrils come out and plug into parts of Dorian's desk. The central eye lights up. This is Icarus, his assistant. And a complete holographic grid of the facility that Celine is at, being honed in on from the communication between him and Celine, lights up, and he can see where you are on a sort of digital scale, as if he's looking at a miniature version of it.
Right, I see somebody messed with this door. Oh, someone did a number on this door.
Just get me in.
All right. Looks like you've been told to subdue this one.
Get me in.
Say please.
Dorian.
I'll take my name.
And he, with a wave of his right hand, almost like goes into it like a digital godlike hand goes in and like touches the door and lights up. And you can see on the data pad the symbol of Kelvaris, the golden hawk, with the grid-like pattern in the central eye lights up, and you hear the sound of a digital lock unlocking. And with a thunk of metal, you can feel the iron bar keeping the damage door closed rises up and no longer bars your way.
Will that be all?
That will be all. Many thanks.
And you hear the call end.
Dorian gives an exasperated sigh and looks at Icarus, and Icarus tilts his dome-like head. It says subdue. We'll see if she keeps her word.
And so it opens up. I slide open the door. I'm in this like massive like server room. We hear there's like sparks going off because there are like massive rows of servers set up. And so I have to walk through. I'm walking in slowly. You notice that I don't have any weapons on me right now. So she's just looking around, head on a swivel, and she's checking between each row as she's getting further and further back. And then I hear some movement towards the back and some nervous kind of like whimpering. And I know that the red is there. And I say,
yes.
Come out now and nothing will happen to you. We'll take you in quietly.
There is silence other than the labored breathing of one of the grays. You can see as like some of the light begins to fill the room, you can see this gray, she's up against the wall. Mm-hmm. With a piece of metal that seems to have been ripped from the ground itself is pierced into her side, and she's sort of keeping it, the pressure on it to keep more blood from coming out. She's, her face is like, you can see the dent in her, the crack in her helmet. You can see a very frightful bloodshot eye sort of like sitting and looking at you, and is like sort of trying to gesture to the left of you. And
like the other side of the wall, or?
Almost as if they see something you don't and are trying to give you like a, they're tilting their head just a little bit.
I'll just put my finger up to my mouth, and then I will tap my wrist to show that people are coming to help in time, to just hold on.
There is a breath of relief from the gray as she lowers her head and then goes back to just trying to focus on breathing. The panic seems to subside for just a moment as it took a lot of effort for her to move her neck and part of her body to gesture to where the red might be.
Okay.
And all that you can hear in that moment is the sound of something heavy and metallic being scraped against the ground, as if something is dragging a chunk of metal. Like a child dragging a baseball bat.
Yeah. So assuming that the red can hear me, even though I know that it has been corrupted, I will say it again. If you come out slowly, everything will be done in a more bureaucratic manner. Do you understand? And I'm like, my body and like my head is turned. Like I haven't fully gone to that side yet. But it's just like my voice projecting so that the red can hear me.
You begin to hear something familiar that you know happens when a red gets corrupted. They begin to have extremely heightened responses of emotion or phrases they would normally say, which is usually an early sign that there's damage to their neural link, their neural network. And you begin to just hear a distended,
ha, 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 ha. That will be all. That will be all. That will be all. Ha, ha.
As it, you then begin to hear this piece of metal being dragged, smashed and slammed against the walls.
I'm going to face them now. And the thread is, they're dragging a piece of metal, you're saying, around? That they've, like, ripped off of something? It's, like, jagged, I'm guessing, and sharp.
Yes, you see the red as the sound gives it away, and you chase the sound mm-hmm. and from the voice and the clamoring. You see this red stands no taller than you mm-hmm. in a classic sort of red construction jumpsuit that most wear when they're in the labor fields. The face looks uncannily human, not for the barcode that is present on the red's neck, which is, aside from the fact that they are robotics on the inside, is the way you distinguish a red from a human.
They this pretty red much seems look, to have, they look human, so think like Blade Runners, mm-hmm. What's the other, the video game, Detroit Become Human?
Cyberpunk.
Yeah.
Yeah, Detroit Become Human, Cyberpunk, yeah. Early Terminator as
yes,
well.
Yes, exactly.
Very much like,
mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
And very much like Terminator, it looks as though this red has peeled off parts of its face. As you can see, almost a claw-like rip through this, like, perfectly, like, symmetrical face of what may have been, like, a young man. Mm-hmm. But you begin to see the wires and the circuitry, and the one eye seems to have been, is sort of dribbling out of the socket where it's supposed to be. And part of where lips would be for a mouth, you can see the grinding of metal teeth as it's holding a chunk of metal that looks as though it's like a pole that may have been part of a beam with a sharp, jagged edge at the bottom, and it's just flailing it.
What she does is, so she sees this whole thing, and I don't know if I explained what she looks like. She's tall, I would say, for a woman. She's 6 feet tall, and I believe she's taller than Dorian.
Yes, Dorian is a proud 5'10".
Proud 5'10". But yeah, so she has this athletic build. Her hair is like this short cropped, dark hair. And usually she's wearing like these dark purple, almost black tactical enforcer's uniform. Made of like this ballistic weave and accented or subtle gold filaments. And we see that the emblem of House Calvaris as a pin on her collar. She is immediately, you see her throw an arm out, and there is a force that is pushed through her body, this kinetic ability that is going to push the red and slam them back against the cement of the wall behind them.
Yes, just as the red is about to lunge at you with its percussive, erratic movement. You've seen this before. You've done this dozens of times. You know when it's about to lunge at you. Mm-hmm. And effortlessly fly it again, and it is slammed against the wall of this boiler room, dropping its jagged weapon.
And it begins to kind of spark, and I can see that it still has some life in it, as it's like it has slumped against the wall and like fallen down. And she begins to walk closer to it, and she tells herself, "Subdue, subdue." Okay.
That will be all that will be all that ha.
Takes the metal object and goes right across its head.
How hard?
The first roll of the game to Oracle roll. Yeah, hard.
Yeah, do an Oracle 50,
oh my
give
God.
Us a roll and tell us like
that's hilarious.
What is the likeliness that you how hard do you hit it?
Oh my gosh.
Like, unless you want to say it's 50-50. Yeah. And then if you you roll 50 or lower, you listen and subdue it, or 51 and higher, you hit it a little too hard.
Oh, if it's 51 and higher, it's a little too hard? Okay.
Yep, 51 or higher, you've hit it a little too hard and broke the neural brain.
Yeah.
Of the robot guards.
Okay, let's do it. 50 or below, she hits it just right. 51, I was going to say she doesn't know her own strength, but she does. Okay, let's go. Jesus Christ. So that is a 91. I think she goes a little too hard as it keeps saying that will be all. It seems to be kind of short-circuiting, and to get it to be quiet, she does a whack right across its head.
Yep.
And I think that metal bit gets it just right in the right spot. But she will bring it back, and I think she will bring it back to her brother, who has to analyze them anyway. And the job is done. And she calls the comms over to her other guard members. The situation is managed. Tell the Greys to come in. Clean up.
Excellent work, Praetor. We have subdued any innocents.
You've subdued innocents?
We have secured innocence. I used the wrong word. It seems though that was being said quite a few times. He said secured.
Okay, he said secured? Okay. And so they're going to send in some greys, especially to help the one that is kind of bleeding out.
You do find that both greys that were confronting this red will live. One that was off to the side suffered a huge concussive blow to the back of his head and was unconscious, whereas the other one was impaled with a piece of metal, both of which will live, but need to be taken off the force for some time. And the damage was minimal. No other innocents were harmed. And thankfully, there was no damage done within the boiler room, where if the red was to continue to flail pieces of metal, it could have caused severe damage.
Mm-hmm. And so she makes her way out. And as she's making her way out, there has been a crowd that has formed. So lots of students have come and kind of like formed around. There's lots of universities in this district and like medical students, people who are just, going to school. And they have kind of crowded around this area. And you see people like shouting out, "Monarch! Monarch!" as she's making her way out, and she just keeps her head down and makes her way. She calls Dex. "Dex, to me." And he immediately gets up and follows, and they make their way back to their vehicle. But there are people who are shouting like, "Monarch, did you use your cool superpower?" Like, just people are like yelling out, and she's not trying to listen or anything like that.
Yeah, there's also press there from the Violet District.
Yeah.
And they're going, "Monarch, how did you fell this corrupted red? We heard that it was causing damage. We heard that it took out a gray. Is this true?"
I think she would just say, "The situation is managed. Thank you." And continue.
Ever the professional. And you see this Violet spins with a flash and is very much a news reporter and has a crew in there. Ever the professional, the Monarch, Celine Calvaris. Strikes again.
He has like a purple robe. He's like,
"Oh yeah, purple robe and flashes." And little confetti flies off, and you can see within the screen of the camera, it's very much heightened graphics, and all these emojis are going off and explosions, and they put like a little digital crown on top of you as you're awkwardly getting into your vehicle and getting away from them.
Yeah, just one of only three known to have these special kinetic abilities. And she,
truly a marvel of the Calvaris family.
Yes. Can we make him sound like the announcer in Legend of Korra?
Oh, yes, we absolutely can.
What does that sound like?
All right, we're going to pull. This again, reporting to you, is Ace Bellerin with a new incident subdued and defeated by one Celine Calvaris, known for her moniker as the Monarch. She has a perfect record and has saved countless lives here in Hyperion City from corrupted reds, those ever dangerous anomalies that live well, well below.
I was gonna add on to it because I think that's fun. But that was really good. That was really good. But yeah, so she continues to make her way to her vehicle, and you see that there are people, the other blues who are like the paramedics, who have the red on a stretcher. The body is covered, and there are people who like are trying their best to take a peek at what it looks like. Some of the grays are looking a little disappointed because subdued doesn't mean body should be covered. As Celine and her guard makes her way out, and that body gets put into a vehicle. It looks very much like the med hover vehicles that you see in like Cyberpunk 2077.
Oh, yeah.
And so they're it's transported into there. That vehicle is heading to you.
This episode is brought to you by Hero Forge. There is no better gift for a gamer than a custom miniature of their beloved TTRPG character. So this holiday season, take the guesswork out of gift giving and treat your players to a digital gift card to Hero Forge. Hero Forge offers fully customizable tabletop miniatures with dozens of fantasy species and thousands of parts to choose from, all within your browser. You can make minis in a variety of materials, including premium unpainted plastic and color standees, and they even offer downloadable model files so you can 3D print your unique designs at home. And for the dice lovers in your party, never fear, Hero Forge has you covered with their custom dice, which lets you put your hero inside the very D20 that will help lead you to glory. Visit heroforge.com to send your players a digital gift card and let them build the heroes of their dreams.
My dearest listener, have I got a secret for you? Bitcherton is an improvised comedy podcast inspired by the stories of Jane Austen that tells the tale of a wealthy family's secrets, scandals, and shenanigans. Lady Bitcherton has unwed daughters, nosy neighbors, awful country cousins, and now a body to hide. Will the Bitchertons be able to keep their secrets off the pages of Lady Bigwither's gossip sheet? Or will her pen skewer their good name forever? Oh, Bits, what a predicament. Featuring the voices of Katie Maravich, Iffy Waddyway, Carolyn Page, Alex Songsharp, Brian Flaherty, and Cassie Wilson, plus a dance card filled with guest comedians of the very finest quality. But for us to help the seeds of rumor ripen into the juicy plum of scandal, we'll need your help. Bitcherton is heading to Kickstarter on June 13th. Go to bitcherton.com to pre-save the campaign and help us bring this story to life. Ta-ta for now.
The severely damaged red, with the head almost completely taken off and part of its brain crushed in from the impact, leaking what robotics experts would know is just the simple fluid that goes about their bodies to regulate their temperature and regulate their movement and keep their functions lubricated. But it almost seems alarmingly odd that the fluid would also be the color of blood. Yeah. It is just a deep, deep red.
Mm-hmm. And so as we see the med, is it hovers and it flies over to your building, which is not far. You said you're in the Blue District. So it gets there within about 5 to 8 minutes, and you were already notified. So are you like waiting for it as it's arriving and everything like that?
Yes. Dorian would be waiting on the bottom floor mm-hmm. of this building, of the robotics building, a branch of Kilvar's Dynamics. Mm-hmm. And sitting there, he would have a couple of his assistants, a handful of blues ready to sort of assist him as needed. And as he's waiting there, something small little crawls out from underneath his jacket and looks up at him with two tiny, like, pearl blue eyes. Mm-hmm. Ajax, to your station. And this little crab-like robot, Ajax, scuttles back underneath his jacket.
We are going to see that they are kind of rushing this body, and there's no wheels. I want to say, you know, this
it's floating. It
yeah, the stretcher is floating as it's they're kind of like running to you. A couple of the blue paramedics, and they're coming to you. Oh, hello, sir. And they kind of just do a nod, a little bow to you. And they say, the directive was to subdue the red. Unfortunately, that was not the case. So we were told to bring it to you to see if you can rectify any of the damage done here. If anyone can do it, we know it will be a kill of ours, sir.
Unfortunately. Thank you. That will be all. I have some of my constituents here that can bring it up to my lab. Thank you for your service, and good luck.
Sir.
And he spins around and has everyone following. He puts one of his hands on the floating sort of dolly here where the destroyed red is. He opens it up and he can see the damage and gives an exhausted sigh. What am I going to do with you, Celine? And we have it to this montage of him bringing it to this platform, this surrounded by this glass cylinder that floats upwards back to where we first saw him going up to one of the larger lab rooms. The body of the red is put onto this larger slab with all these different cylinders that pop up and put beams of fluorescent light around it and begin to do a series of scans with a hologram hitting the wall on the opposite side, showing the structure of the red with highlights of colors where damage was done, whether it was external or internal. The color of a deep purple represents corruption, which seems to be encapsulating parts of the head into the side of the core of the body, whereas the rest that is red, yellow, or orange represents structural damage, which he notices that very deep red on the upper right cranium. Mm-hmm. Did you really have to do that? As he's talking to himself.
There's a lot of other blues who are, sir, is there anything that we can give you or help you? And there's, like, interns who are, like, learning from the great Dorian Kelvar, so they're, like, eager, like, college-aged university students.
Yes, what you can do is you can set up the grid of the neural network. And he goes over to where the head is. Now, what you're going to do is you're going to take this device, and he brings over, like, this dome-like cap that goes over a red's head to scan it. You're going to lean this in to where it lines up with the corruption source in the head, where the neural network core is.
Perfect.
Hold it there and wait until the scan is complete. You have to keep it right on that piece. Anything, any sort of adjustment of movement, jarring or otherwise, will make it an inconsistent reading.
Yes, sir. Yes, sir. And
you've got this.
You see, hand is a little bit shaky, but it's like a young girl, and she looks maybe she's like 20, 21, and she follows your instruction. You see her like take a deep breath, okay, and just follows your instructions. She does it really well. They have a knack for this, so she does it.
And he begins to dissect it with his mind, in a sense, where his eye goes from that gold again, which just seems to be a neutral color, it goes to a blue, which highlights investigation as he scans against the hologram and links it up and can see where the degradation of the neural network started. This one degraded.
You see that it was degraded, and you also notice your eye kind of twitches as you're digging deeper and deeper, and you realize someone was trying to erase the barcode from this red. Someone was trying to clean it. It didn't work. And you know this is highly illegal, as you immediately clock it. And even if people, like the blue, shouldn't know that this is possible. So you don't want any of these students to see this, but they're kind of like waiting on your word as you catch this.
Yes. And the way this was so cleverly hidden was that externally it looks as though the bar is complete on the neck of the red. But on a digital scan, several of those bars don't come up. And that's been how the cleaning has been working, where it has to be scanned. It cannot just be looked at. It has to be scanned to be noticed.
Some of the students are, sir, should we analyze it as well?
No. This seems rather... My sister has a habit of breaking her toys. And unfortunately, it looks as though there's been a lot of damage internally in the neural network here. I think just send the reports that you get from the neuroscan, and I will just do a once-over on it, and we'll bring it back down to manufacturing to be repaired and reconstituted into parts and spare things we need. Thank you for your patience. The scan looks like it was a 99.7% accuracy. The best yet?
Thank you, sir. One day I'll reach your 100%. And a lot of them, they have their bags and things like that, and they head out.
Icarus waves goodbye to them.
Yeah. One of its little
tendrils waves goodbye.
Metallic tendrils. And they all wave to Icarus. And then you get a call from Celine. And you hear the little ringing sound.
He lets it, because in his eye, he can see it, the alert, as if it, like, he has like a smartphone in his brain. And he sees the alert and he sees the ID that it's Celine calling. He lets it ring for a moment. And he says, Icarus, dim the lights, increase the sound proficiency in the lab. Icarus like puts two of his tendrils into the wall, dims the lights, and begins to sort of almost soundproof the room for privacy. And also goes into the cameras to sort of keep things in control, as this is his lab. Anything recorded in here, he has control over. So after, let's say, 7 or 8 rings.
Wow.
He picks up.
This is Dorian Kelvaris, Senior Robotics Operations.
Hello, Senior of Operations.
And you also hear, she says,
I am about to rope in my contact, Marin Vatherus. You know of him.
Yes, I remember. Celine, what did we talk about subdue?
Dorian, we don't have time.
I would love to tell you that you're wrong, but you are right. Something came up on the scans on my end, but I suppose that can wait when we...
It can wait. It can wait. Trust me. You're going to want to hear this.
Very well. Very well.
And...
He reaches over for a mug that comes up and gives him, like, a hot coffee.
Can Icarus be the one that hands him one of his tendrils?
Yeah. Icarus comes over with the cream and sugar and puts it into
Perfect.
The coffee.
I dial in Marin, and you see this kind of large bear of a man, and he looks very jolly, but right now, and you would know that he's just like a very kind guy. He's also a gold, but he is my contact who gives me work, but more, it's more important work. Than usual. And you see, he looks kind of nervous, a little bit more serious than usual. He says,
Hello, Dorian.
Marin, it's good to see you.
It's good to see you as well. I don't have much time, as this is an open case. And something just came onto my table, and I need you and your sister to focus on this, and only this, for as long as you need. Do you understand?
You need both of us on this.
Both of you, I need the best minds.
With some frustration, Dorian, like, leans in.
All right. What's the situation, Marin? Lay it on us.
And you see, Celine just looks completely locked in. Like, maybe he told her a little bit beforehand. But he goes,
So, I have a new directive for you both. There is rumblings of a red uprising. And while we get these every year or so, they always... It's nothing. Nothing comes up. But this time, that is not the case. We have a word of a red rebel leader, and we must bring him in for questioning. We must subdue him, Celine.
Did you hear that, Celine?
I heard it, yes. Of course.
Don't worry, Marin. I'll be there to make sure subdue is followed.
Subdue will be followed with prejudice.
What's so different about this red uprising? We do get them rather occasionally. Usually, I don't enter the situation until after it's been subdued.
Well, here's the thing. We need both of you on this because we need one of the smartest minds in tech on this. Because what is happening can only be done by someone who knows our procedures intimately. This leader is removing barcodes from Reds. They're being cleaned, so they can't be tracked. And you know, this is...
That's so.
You know how illegal this is.
It's quite damning from what I remember. It's an unsanctioned and unlawful and could result in some very serious punishment.
Very serious is an understatement. We have a red here at the Praetorium Guard headquarters. We got to talk. And he smiles. So, good news. We don't know who the leader is. And the first task, the most important one, is to find out who this is. Secondary objective, find and retrieve these missing reds. Retire if necessary. If necessary.
Any, eyes, Celine?
Is there any... report on the number of missing reds that this leader has taken under its wing?
Because they are being cleaned, we don't have a number. That is something we could not obtain from the red who talked. But we can give it another try. But for right now, the red is in custody, and you don't have to worry about him. We need to know how many reds have been cleaned.
And he kind of just rubs his eyes.
Not knowing this number is dangerous. As you know, the Reds in this city, they outnumber us 3-1. So an uprising that would reach astronomical numbers is not a course of action that we are willing to think about or even imagine. We need to snuff this out immediately.
And Celine says,
The situation will be managed. I'll find this Red leader and I'll subdue him.
Affirmative. We will prevent catastrophe and restore order, and make efforts to understand and prevent this from happening again.
Marin says, it is of the utmost importance you find out how many have been cleaned. The Tribunal of Seven do not want this to get out to too many people, so that's why it's just you two. There are not many other Golds who know this situation.
And you see, he just looks clearly like stressed. He's like sweating a little bit.
But I have faith in you. You will get this done in a timely manner. Yes?
To the best of our efforts, we will do this, Marin, and I think you should take care of yourself.
I will. I need a massage. But I trust you. This is why I have you two working on this. So you will swear it, here and now. Strength is duty.
Duty is order.
Order is gold.
We take on this new mission, and I think the final move of the episode will be to swear an iron vow. You ready?
Beautiful.
Okay, let's do it. Who wants to roll for it?
Swearing an iron vow is to complete a quest. We write our vow and we'll give it a rank, then roll plus heart.
Let's do it then. So Celine is going to move, and we are talking to a connection. Marin is our connection. So we have that plus one, and if you share with a bond, ask plus two. So is that a plus three?
That would be a plus three.
Okay, listen, I have a plus four. I have to roll horribly for this not to work. So let's see.
Let's see what happens. You know, it's just the first big roll of the campaign.
It's just the final roll of the episode. Okay, so I'm going to roll. Oh my God! Oh, that's a strong...
Well,
that's a strong...
Let Olympus fall to its knees. Celine Calvaris has rolled a strong hit
match. I told you, she is locked in, okay?
That is locked in if I ever saw it.
She is more focused than she's ever been in her life. You know, like when you take certain drugs. Like I've seen like shows where people put like the drug in their eye and they're like super locked in. Just irises. So this is a strong hit with a match, everybody, okay? This is her life's mission, because this feels like a different type of red uprising, okay? So on a strong hit, she is more than emboldened, and it is clear what she must do next. And we will talk about that in the next episode. Thanks for listening to Iron Rising, a Star Forge actual play. I'm Maya Wilson, and I've been Celine Calvaris.
I'm Michael Gilbert, and I've been Dorian Calvaris. And together, we bring the world of Hyperion City and the Law of Seven to life.
If you're enjoying the series, leave a review or comment wherever you listen. It helps more than you know.
We also have a companion blog for those who'd like to dive a little deeper into the Forge. All links are in the episode description.
And we'll catch you in the next one. Duty is order.
The first one, strength is duty.
Huh? Yes! I was so locked in.
You were locked in. I was like, I feel bad having to tell you, but I got to tell you. You know, well, you have a solid way to say the second part later on.
You know what? We're recording this. This should be like a clip.
This is a blooper.
This episode is brought to you by Hero Forge. There is no better gift for a gamer than a custom miniature of their beloved TTRPG character. So this holiday season, take the guesswork out of gift giving and treat your players to a digital gift card to Hero Forge. Hero Forge offers fully customizable tabletop miniatures with dozens of fantasy species and thousands of parts to choose from, all within your browser. You can make minis in a variety of materials, including premium unpainted plastic and color standees, and they even offer downloadable model files so you can 3D print your unique designs at home. And for the dice lovers in your party, never fear, Hero Forge has you covered with their custom dice, which lets you put your hero inside the very D20 that will help lead you to glory. Visit heroforge.com to send your players a digital gift card and let them build the heroes of their dreams.